Blog Talk Radio.
Yesterday, I decided.
I decided that I cried my last tear yesterday. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Tears are gone. No more sorrow.
Amen. Thank when you're in Jesus. Hallelujah. You are tuned in to the Extreme
Praise
Show. I am your girl, Lady X.
And this is the Motivator.
Hey, 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 Motivator. That's right. And we are actually, it's two of us tonight.
Yes.
We have to give a shout out to our girl With Love because, you know, we all have many endeavors and
yes.
She's an actor.
That's
as
right.
Well as she does hair and all that other stuff.
That's
and she's
right.
Actually working on a production tonight
phenomenal.
At a theater. So
yes.
Shout out to With Love if you are listening. We love you, girl, and we'll see you next week.
All right, With Love.
That's right, that's right, that's right. But you are tuned into the Extreme Praise Show, everyone. Okay, this is our weekly Monday night.
Yes.
We come to you bringing you Christ in everyday life, and we're so excited for you to be here. To everyone who's the first-timers, welcome to the Extreme
welcome.
Praise Experience.
Yes.
That's right. It will be an experience. We love to just keep Christ in culture, everyday life, and have fun doing it.
Amen.
We love to share knowledge. We love to just, you know, get to know Christ, but not just on a Sunday. We're talking about in every aspect of our walk.
Yes.
So welcome to you and to all you who are returning. Thank you for coming back and supporting us. We truly appreciate it. I just want to let you know we are now on Twitter. Extreme Praise is on Twitter. So you could find us, follow us on Twitter at Extreme Praise
Now.
That's Xtreme Praise Now, okay? And also, we have a fan page on Facebook. So if you are being blessed by this show, please make sure you go like us on Facebook. The just look us up. It's Xtreme Praise Show. So it's Xtreme Praise Show, Extreme Praise Show.
Yes.
And also, we have a Facebook groups page. That's where we kind of keep you informed just with more detail because Twitter is a wonderful thing. We could
that's
send
right.
you brief recaps. But on the group page, we're actually able to share a lot more information, especially when we give out information on the show.
Yes.
What we are definitely going to be moving forward with doing is posting it in the Facebook group page.
That's right.
Giving you some notes when we have guests on and you need their websites or when you get tips from the health or whatever it is, you can get all of that information in the Extreme Praise group page on Facebook. So to go to that page, if you're already friends with the Motivator or
that's
friends
right.
with Lady X, then you can also, we can add you to the group, and it's on our group page, so it's Extreme Praise at groups.facebook.com. So you have all the ways to get in touch with us, and in case you didn't catch all of that, we'll be in the chat room. We'll put it up in the chat room tonight, and you can always go to our blog talk page, which is how some of you are listening. Some of you are tuned in by the phone, and if you need to know, you can listen two ways. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/extreme praise, and you can also call in and listen, and you can talk with us on the air also at 818-495-6958. Okay, so I think we're going to do a brief little recap from last week.
Yes.
Yeah, February 28th.
Tyra
Randall was here. It was the last day of Black History Month.
Yes.
But, you know, as we discussed, Black History is every day. Each and every one of us is making Black History.
That is
so
correct.
Shout out to all my sisters and brothers making your Black History with your lives. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes,
but
yes.
Last week we were blessed with a sister, Ms. Tyra Randall.
Yes.
She is a certified health and wellness expert, and she gave us the history of African-American diet. We
mm-hmm.
talked about the pros and the cons
yes.
of that diet and the connection to our spiritual self.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
What's a wonderful thing is because there was so much information, we weren't able to get through it all, right?
Yes, I really thirsted for more. I mean, she shared so much in depth with regards to the diets that are very common
right.
in African-American families
mm-hmm.
and also some of the sicknesses and illnesses that we are accustomed to having. So I believe that this will be a great show to share more information.
Right, that's right. It's and you know what? The great thing is we have Tyra back with us, so she's going to be back on with us shortly, around 7:30, give or take a couple of minutes.
Yes,
but
yes.
You know, so she's actually going to follow up with what was left off from last week, and she's going to tell us about how to some right now tips that you can make, some health changes that you can make right now. It's not anything drastic where you have to go to get into this whole regimen, but some easy things that you can do today and to actually change your body and change your mind and your soul.
Praise
and
God.
It's all about spring cleaning because spring is coming. I know I'm ready for it.
Yes, I know I've been ready for it.
I am so ready for the spring. So, I mean, I can't wait for Tyra to share with us, you know, the things that we need to do to cleanse our bodies to get ready for the spring. And we also have Mr. Graham Weatherspoon.
Graham Weatherspoon will be here with us?
No. He was with us last week, remember?
Yes, we did. That's correct. That's correct.
So shout out to Graham, who shared a lot of knowledge. If you didn't catch it, he is a veteran transit detective, a motivational speaker.
Yes.
And he shared with us some biblical history and origins, and some of it brought up some controversy. We had it going on in the chat room,
let me tell you. There was fire in the chat room.
There was fire in the chat room, and you know what?
Yes,
but I love it because he put stuff out there, and people challenged him, and we were able to have a real-life discussion, and I feel like it was a way to get people to go do their research.
Excellent.
So if you missed it, that's right. Mm-hmm. Listen, study to show yourself approved is what the word says,
right? That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
But if you missed it, listen, everybody, the wonderful thing is we're on Blog Talk Radio. You can now go catch an archive. If you are not able to tune in between 7 and 9 p.m. on our Monday night regular slots, go to the Blog Talk Radio page. Go listen to the archive. You can download it as a podcast, and you can share it. If you are blessed by it and you think others will be blessed by it, please just share it on Facebook, Twitter, and all of that. And, again, that page is www.blogtalkradio.com/extremepraise, and that's X-T-R-E-M-E without the E at the beginning, okay?
Excellent.
So, And so, like I said, we have coming up, we have Tyra.
Yes, and now we also have a special guest.
Oh, we have an amazing guest for you. I'm excited.
And this is in celebration.
In celebration.
Of Women's History Month.
Shout out to all my ladies out there.
Oh, my
God. Woo! Listen, we are celebrating us. And my girl with love is in here right now. So, you know, I got to big it up for us.
That's all right. It's a good thing, though, because, you know, so much estrogen in one place.
That's right. You know, we got to hold it down.
Whatever happened to Men's History Month?
Oh, you know what?
Whatever happened to Men's History Month?
This is a man's world.
So, you know, I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what? God made y'all the head. You see, come on.
Hallelujah.
He made y'all the head.
Hallelujah.
You know, we celebrate y'all every day. Praise God.
Oh, so I guess this is time for the man to acknowledge.
Yes, you need to acknowledge the contributions of the women. Don't get it twisted.
Yes.
Just like Black History Month is not only in February.
Yes.
Women's History Month is not real. Women's history is not only in March.
It's really every day. There are so many accomplishments, and we're going to talk a little bit. I will share a little bit about the powerful woman of 2011, but that's moving forward
into our
program. And I know you're looking forward to hearing about these powerful women.
I am. I'm very excited, you know,
because
I'm trying to be a powerful woman myself, and I love and I'm so appreciative of the examples that are set before me. So I would love to hear who you're bringing to the table.
That's right.
So listen, y'all. At 8:15, we have an amazing interview with journalist Cheryl Wills of New York One.
Mm.
And check it, she's not only a journalist, but she is a popular, engaging public speaker, just like our brother, the motivator over here.
Uh-huh.
And she is the author of this amazing, amazing saga called Die Free. It's a heroic family history, and it's the legacy of her great-great-great-grandfather, who was an escaped slave who valiantly fought with the U.S. colored troops during the Civil War.
Wow.
I mean,
that's history right there.
I'm excited because she has, you know what, she's been able to actually find out her legacy. We all have a legacy, and we all have our ancestry.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm excited to find out how she went about doing that.
I'd like to
and,
know myself.
And, you know, an effective way to go about doing that if you're trying to find out your heritage, because a lot of us, most of, especially people of color, our heritage does come from slave days, and a lot of our forefathers were slaves.
Right,
and if you know anything about slavery, they didn't really keep records of us. They they considered us three-fifths of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so a lot of times we weren't in the record. So to be able to actually go back and find that lineage is an amazing thing.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it.
I am extremely excited because, you know, part of lineage is also biblical as well.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, 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 yes.
You know,
yes.
I believe we always make a comical reference whenever we say, you know, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judah. And
I love it.
You know, so there is something about looking at your lineage and honoring your ancestors,
yes.
honoring your heritage,
yes.
and it gives you so much power to look toward the future to see how you carry the torch, what you're going to bring now.
It's an amazing thing. It's you know what? And we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for their struggle, their pioneering,
yes.
the ways that they made, the way they just, they pressed on, and they went through, we don't go through anything in comparison to what our forefathers went through.
That's right.
You know, we complain, we complain, we complain, but let me tell you, when they were down and out, they prayed to the same God we pray to right now, and he got them through and was able to lead to where we are right now.
And you know what else they did?
What else?
They gave him extreme praise.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Extreme praise,
ladies and gentlemen.
Listen, y'all. You're listening to the Extreme Praise Show.
Yeah.
Perfect segue. Thank you, my brother.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
You're tuned into the Extreme Praise Show, and we're going to take a quick music break. But, you know, it was just, I just want to say when we come back, we're going to talk with Tyra, but I'm really excited, and thank you so much for tuning in. And let people know if they haven't tuned in yet, tell them to tune in, because we're going to come back, and I want y'all to listen to my girl, Camille Newman. We're going to talk about what we did over the weekend when we come back.
Yes, of course, of
course. And this sister right here, she did her album. She's an amazing sister. She what's the word I'm looking for? Fundraiser. She had a fundraiser on Saturday, and she sang her songs. And
what's the title of this one that we're listening
to
right now?
What we're about to listen to is called God Is My Source, because you know what? It's a powerful thing. And she talks about some struggles she went through, but how God got her through because he is her source. So this is my girl, Camille Newman. You make sure you stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Extreme Praise, Tyra Randa, and a little recap.
Woo! Extreme Praise.
I listened to the lies that you told me. They went straight to my head. You said you want to marry me, so I gave you everything. Forgot about where God fit in, what he would say, things I shouldn't be doing, but I did them anyway. Wanted to please you, traded God to keep you, but you took advantage of the love I gave to you. Knew in my heart that you were true. Back on my knees crying, Jesus, please, then he forgave me.
are tuned into the Extreme Praise Show. Hey, everybody, if you're just tuning in, that was my girl Camille Newman, and God is my source. Welcome, 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 welcome if you're just tuning in.
Yes.
We have an amazing show set up for you tonight. We're going to actually get into a little bit of health tips very shortly.
Yes, yes.
We have a wonderful, wonderful woman of God, Miss Tyra Randall. She's a certified health and wellness expert, and she's going to give us some information and tips on things to do right now to get our health in check prepare for the upcoming spring and summer season, which I'm so ready for. I want to wear my sandals. But
I'm just tired of shoveling snow.
I know. Oh, please. Listen. Snow, I cannot see another drop of snow. I just can't. I really can't. But, you know, praise God for it. We got through it.
Yes,
so,
praise God. Praise
God. But listen, MacArthur, what was your week like? What went on with you this week? Anything interesting?
You know what? I'm glad you asked.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad you asked. You know, this weekend was phenomenal. Had some great time with my daughter, Michaela. And
how old is she?
She is 3 years old.
And she's adorable, y'all. She's adorable. Listen, you got to follow him on Twitter.
Follow me on Facebook and on Twitter, and you'll definitely see some pictures.
What's the name on Twitter?
On Twitter, I'm at Urban Gospel.
Urban Gospel, y'all. And follow me also, Xavier Boss.
Xavier Boss. XavierBost.
All right, now break down my government.
All right, now I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure people get in touch with you.
That's right. I'm not mad at you.
Yes.
So what happened?
Well, you know, I went to church on Sunday, but we honored my father who celebrated this past week. You know, his birthday was on the 1st.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, yes. So the church honored him, and then he preached the word. Worship was fantastic. But what was great for me is prior to this weekend, from last week, I'm part of a company called Compass, which offers personal life coaching. As you know, I am studying to be a personal life coach.
Yes, he is, y'all.
And part of the thing that happened with me is I experienced coaching myself.
And what kind of coaching?
Let me tell you, one of the great things is, you know, they took a look at my areas of life, education, spiritual, and health and finance. And so what I can share with you, just to tie in with the health component, one of my coaching areas was, you know, I needed more cardio. I had a treadmill at home, but it became more like furniture. You know, it was like, you know, I looked at it.
And you threw your coat on it when you came home.
I threw my coat on it, you know, and it was like, you know what, that's really nice. And while I'm eating, like, it would be nice if I could actually get on that cardio machine. But out of the coaching, I got so much inspiration and a consistent mapped out schedule where now I've been doing cardio every day since last week.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact,
congratulations.
When you was on the phone with me last week, do you remember, we had a call, and, you know, she's like, why are you huffing and puffing? I'm like, hey, you know, I'm on the cardio. I'm doing my cardio. So, you know, that's one of the great things this week. What happened for you this week?
Oh, man, a lot. Let's see. On Thursday, I'm so excited. Well, I don't know if y'all know, in addition to doing the Extreme Praise Show, I'm also an artist. I'm a singer.
Yes.
And I'm so excited. God is really making provisions for me to start my EP.
Praise
so
God.
So I have people, you know, who are blessing me so much with helping me with my project, and I have to shout out to Keith Carr.
Is he related to Kurt?
He is. He's Kurt Carr's brother.
Wow. Look at that.
He's Kurt Carr's brother. Shout out to Trisha Andrew, who Keith and her actually are both kind of acting as I guess, unofficially my managers. And they're helping me. And shout out to Jay History. And also, I met with a producer and another producer outside of Jay History, but a producer, and my girl Shirley Tuzon, who's helping me to write some songs.
Very nice.
And we're setting stuff up. I'm excited. We actually, you know, are going to get in the studio very, very soon to work on my EP because I want to have some things for the summer. And God is just, He's blessing me, I have to say, and I'm so humbled by it because I've really been wanting to do this for a long time.
Yes.
And He's literally surrounding me with the right people. So shout out to all of you who are really, really extending yourself to help me and see my vision. I'm so excited for
Praise
that.
God.
And, you know,
God.
I have such good influences because my girl Camille Newman.
Yes.
You know, she also, she did her album, and
did
her
she?
Album is complete, and and she basically had a fundraiser this Saturday that just passed.
Yes.
And it was at the Knitting Factory.
Nice.
And she had an amazing band, and she just really, really did her thing. And, I mean, when I say rocked out, we were jamming at the Knitting Factory. And you know,
I love the Knitting
she's
Factory.
Very contemporary gospel.
Yes.
And I don't know if they ever had anything like that there before. So I want to say, Camille, you did your thing. Shout out to Mike Harley also who emceed for her and everybody else who was part of that. So I went to that. And then on Saturday night, I know y'all know I have a spinoff of this show, which is called Single Lady Girl Talk with Lady X. And so shout out to Tanya Carey.
Tanya Carey.
Yes, Tanya Carey, who is the author of 12 Secrets to Living a Life You Love. And she helped me moderate the show. And I couldn't believe it was men and women in the chat room for Single Lady Girl Talk, and we were basically talking about how to be the best you. You know, do we as women, what are we doing to make ourselves the best us for not only ourselves but for our future mates, if that's what we are praying for.
Right.
And
and that's a very important component because, you know, I meet so many women who are looking for the perfect mate.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And so you as a man, what do you think?
What, in terms of what a woman should do?
Well, just quickly, like, when you do you ever think, like, okay, you know how we all put demands on the men? A lot of times we have our checklist. You know, sometimes I'm sure y'all have a checklist, too.
Yes. I'll tell you one thing. For those of you who love music, you heard Neo.
Yes.
You heard the song. He loves the song Independent,
that's
right?
That's my song.
Okay. Now, it's not so much that a man wants the woman to already have it together, but what the concept is that she is completing herself. She is making herself complete.
Mm-hmm.
She is focusing on her goals. So that way, he knows that he will have a great mate. He will have a partner that will help him, and once they align together, they will be successful in their own goals.
Amen. Well, I just want to interject, though, on
that
one thought. She should already be complete in herself and in Christ.
There you go.
And he should already be complete in himself and in Christ.
And that's what's there, yes.
And then once you have these two holes and they come together and they make a one, it's an even
more
powerful hole. But that's a topic for Single Lady Girl Talk.
We'll
so
talk
y'all look
that
out
later.
For that because I'll be posting when that's coming up.
Yes.
Listen, y'all, you're tuned into the Extreme Praise Show.
That's right.
And we are just, right now we're going to take it to my sister, Miss Tyra Randall, who's going to share with us. So let me welcome her on the show. Tyra, you on the air?
Hello,
yes,
Tyra.
I certainly am.
Hi, how are you? Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm wonderful. Good evening, Motivator. How are you?
I am great, Tyra. I'm really great. I'm so glad you made it for this week as well. You know, because there was so much that you shared from last week, and you were sharing a lot of information regarding diets and things that we could do. And one of the areas that I wanted you to elaborate on as well, whenever you get an opportunity during this time, is to share how all the things that you're talking about, the health tips and what we can do now, how they tie in to our spiritual life as well.
Okay, great. Well, to just jump right in and give a quick recap, last week we talked about why it's important not to just eat well, but to have that spiritual grounding, that connection and the balance in your life. And that doesn't just include the spirit, but it's the job, the career, the family, finances, the whole package, really. It's all your health. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So, Tyra, can you just recap on a couple of things from last week? Because we did talk about just because some people probably weren't tuned in. So you did talk about, you know, our history, and I know we definitely can't go back into all of that. But just maybe a couple of key points that people need to remember and look out for with their health, and then go into, you know, telling them about how they can prepare and maybe take some steps to better their health.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so last week we definitely, in honor of Black History Month, we went right to talking about the history of our food or our soul food, so to speak, And much of that food has carried into our traditions currently, things like the black-eyed peas and so forth we talked about, and how we had the cast-off from the animals, the chitlins and the hog maws and
yes.
those parts of most of our diet. And it was a diet basically intended to feed a hard-working slave. And we don't work like that anymore, as much as most of us would like to think that we do. We don't have that type of physical, burden put up on us, so to speak. But
thank
it is
God.
Important.
Right.
It's important to know that even though we ate those foods had a different source. Those foods
yep.
were produced, just wholesale slaughter and produced in a way that the pesticides and the crops were genetically modified. That's what we're looking at now. So having a diet that really is as free of pesticides and hormones and so forth is probably one of the best things you can do when it comes to eating. You know, if you're going to eat some of those things that are not quite so good for you, then make sure that you're getting a good source, that your milk, if you're going to drink milk, that you try to opt for something like organic milk or organic soy milk. I spoke last week about a lot of people believe that you have to eat everything organic or that you have to be fanatical about your diet.
Right. There's certain things that is really important, right?
Mm.
Exactly. That just some of your fruit and vegetables are organic. But above it being organic, the important part is that it's fresh, that you make as much of it as you can from home, and that you're prepared. Those things in the most simple way possible, avoiding a microwave, and some people reheat their food, the good old-fashioned cast iron frying pan. There's a lot to be said for that. There's a source of iron, believe it or not, in that old-fashioned frying pan. So take your time,
throw
that big frying pan on the stove and put your leftovers in it.
Tyra, can I tell you, that's so funny, right? Because I bought a set, and I have them, and they really are amazing, but I think I might have heard that before. So when you use a cast iron skillet, because I know the one great thing about it is you can put it in the oven, it evenly distributes the heat, and so it cooks your food better, but so when you use it, it also provides iron to us, is that correct?
Right, the iron leaches into your food. And it is a pure source of iron, and it does actually accent the iron that may already be in your collard greens or what have you. The reverse is true for using cheap, no-stick pots or aluminum pots. One of the best things
really?
You can do, another tip, throw away your aluminum pots. Throw away your aluminum pots. Those no-stick pots are some of the worst pieces of equipment in your kitchen. That aluminum.
Tell me why. Because this is I've used this very frequently. So this is
because
new.
The aluminum leaches right into your food, and aluminum is one of the metals that has a detrimental effect on the body. Very much like lead, you know, the problems with lead poisoning and our kids. Lead is in the pipes and so forth. But I don't advocate using anything other than stainless steel. Or wrought iron pots, glass, and again, they don't have to be very, very expensive. You can get a relatively cheap 2 or 3 pots, and not pay more than $30 or $40 for those pots. When you're out at flea markets in the street, or you're out, or you're catching a sale, just look on the bottom. Do not get anything that's aluminum or aluminum clad. That aluminum does go into your food. Just some simple things that you can do. Filter your water. You don't have to go out and buy a $400 water filter. A simple Brita filter. And what you do is you filter that water, pour it into a stainless steel cooking pot, cook it, and strain it right back through the Brita filter, and you have as much filtered water as you could possibly drink.
Well, you know what? Can I share with that also? Because my mother, we actually do own one of the alkaline filters, which is the Kangen water, and we use that like religiously. And it's so funny because my mother, she can't drink any other water now. She loves it, and we've actually seen like what alkaline water can do, which that's like a whole nother segment, because alkaline water it balances your pH balance and all of those things. But a lot of things are in our water that we are not aware of. So even in this bottled water, the plastic that the bottled water puts in the BPA and things like that, and we have to be conscious of that, because also when you freeze water or you if it's out in the sun, the chemicals seep into the liquid, and we then ingest that.
I see somebody's been doing their homework.
I have to say, with the Kangen water, though, my mother, I have to give her props for that, because she's big on it, and she was introduced to it by her her best friend, Eva Brock. And so, you know, we're definitely kind of all up on that, and we are all trying to spread the word.
All right.
And that's true. You don't have to buy bottled water. As a matter of fact, bottled water is not as good for you as people think. Most of the sources are bottled right out of a tap someplace. But there are so many little things that a person can do to begin to just jumpstart feeling healthy and feeling like they're taking care of themselves. It's important, once again, to go back to making that a 360-degree type approach. Obviously, keeping Christ in your life every day, as the show talks about, that's key and that's critical. But once you begin to create that balance, things like sitting down and thinking for 10 or 15 minutes, meditating and just getting some daily quiet time to study or to pray, there are both sides of the coin. There are the lifestyle suggestions, the things that you do, like the meditating and the sitting and just taking care of yourself and breathing deeply, or just humming a happy song or laughing at a joke, reading something funny. Those are the things that create an internal balance. And when you look at balancing that out with what you eat, you immediately begin to feel the changes. Most of us are going warp speed. We don't slow down. But you have to challenge yourself to set goals. It doesn't take a high level of intellect. It doesn't take a high level of money. What it really requires is for you to feel like, I want to make the changes. You don't have to die from diabetes. You don't have to die from high blood pressure. But you will die, or you will suffer from those things if you don't begin to make the changes right now in your life, one day at a time, and to make it fun. Just like you hear people say, oh, I can't eat that. I don't like that. That tastes terrible. Those are the things that eventually, believe it or not, you begin to say, wow, you know what? That doesn't taste so bad. The first time I tasted raw chocolate, I was disgusted. It was bitter. It was strong. I could taste that chocolate in it. And now to eat, and I'm not going to call any name brands, but we all know what those chocolate fixes are. Call out any name brand of a candy bar. And after you've eaten organic chocolate, a simple $2 bar of organic green and blacks, that's one of my favorite brands. $1.89, $2 for a bar. It's a large bar. It gets me through the whole week. I break off a piece of it two or three times a week, and although I'm getting some calories, I'm getting good calories. That chocolate is good for you.
Can I tell you, today I was on the internet, and I just want to tell everybody to go check out praisephilly.com, because there's a big contest going on, and I'll give you more information about that. But while I was looking at the contest, I came across this article on, when it comes to your health, you reap what you sow. Yeah, it's so funny, because I think it was so appropriate for what we're talking about tonight. And it says the title of the segment is A New You is very fitting when it comes to your health. If you eat healthfully and consciously, take the time to exercise and take care of yourself mentally, the rewards can be great. And then on the other hand, if you eat low-quality foods, lead a sedentary lifestyle, and allow stress into your life to cloud you mentally, then you'll feel those effects negatively. Basically, you get out of your body what you put into it. And so then it goes on to tell you to plant the seeds to reap the benefits of it and the health, healthy lifestyle. And it says, you know, feel better. For some, adopting a healthier lifestyle can be very daunting and very difficult. And we all go through it, because, you know, we get set in our ways. But I know one of the things I learned is you have to start in baby steps. So even if you start with a small goal, you know, it'll make it easier. Like someone saying, I want to lose 50 pounds, that sounds almost impossible. Right. But saying, I want to lose 5 or 10 pounds, that's like your 10% mark, and you can reach that. And once you take those baby steps, then you'll feel accomplished, and it actually motivates you to go further.
Right, and you set those goals, and it's always important that you have your support network. That support network is everybody from coworkers, God, your friends, your family, and that's the network that, when you feel like you can't do it, those are the people that are there. Those are the entities that are going to give you that ability to move on. It's important that you set those goals, but it's also important that you try, if you can, to work with someone who can support that and give you the extra courage that you need or help you to set those goals. If you don't know how to do that, it's important to learn how to set goals. There's, I tell people that there's a difference between a goal and a dream. You know, you can keep dreaming that you're going to lose 50 pounds, or you can set the goals first steps. And spring, this is the time. There's a direct connection to the spring equinox. This is not by chance the time of year for Easter and Lent and for cleansing and fasting. This is spring. This is when...
Can you explain that even more in depth and explain, like, kind of the spiritual heritage behind it, which we don't even realize sometimes?
Well, in order for the body to heal, you have to give it a chance to rejuvenate itself. This is the time when the flowers are growing and blooming. And it's actually the time, spiritually, that we set forth for the renewal. That is the purpose and the religious significance behind the cleansing and the fasting and Easter and Lent. We know what that means, the time for rejuvenation and reawakening, to cleanse the body and the mind, and above all, to cleanse the spirit, and to bring that, open up yourself and allow yourself to feel and to have the goodness that's about to come about for the springtime, for the Easter season and for the springtime. When you cleanse and you fast your body, most people don't realize, but a three-day fast or a cleanse begins to remove toxins from the body that you can feel it. Sometimes you'll get a headache during that three-day fast because that's the body's starting to stir up those toxins. By the time you're into the fifth day of a fast or a cleansing, the body is starting to heal itself. And a 10-day fast or cleanse gives your body a complete cleansing. It renews your bloodstream, your major organs, your cells, your digestive system. I highly recommend that anyone who's considering losing weight begin with a detox or a cleanse. Again, I don't recommend that you do this without obviously speaking with your health professional, your doctor, and informing him. People like myself don't work anti-medicine. We work in conjunction with modern medicine. Alternative medicine and alternative therapies are opportunities to combine traditional medicine with non-traditional medicine. And that's really what practices like mine are about. And so there are herbs and so forth that you use to cleanse the body. It doesn't have to be going to take a heavy enema or something, you know, along those lines that's going to violate the body. A cleanse is supposed to be a spiritual release and something significant. Motivator, I'm sorry, you were going to say that.
When you mentioned, Tyra, about it being a spiritual release, how do you feel about people who want to make it a normal practice? Because, you know, in Scripture it speaks on with Christ having, you know, been with the disciples, they said, how come we can cast out this demon or this unclean spirit? And he said, some things, it requires prayer and fasting.
I believe that.
People are confused as to how frequent should I fast? Should I fast every day? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I believe that actually in my practice, I promote what's called bioindividuality. And that means the things that work best for you may not work for someone else. And so we do have an innate spirit within us. Obviously, God is within, and he speaks to you. When you say, oh, my mind told me not to do that, you can think it's your mind if you want, but we know better. And that's God speaking to you. And so obviously, what works for you may not work for Lady X. And that, putting that aside, that bioindividuality, personally, I practice twice a year a 10-day fast, and that's usually in the fall and spring during the equinox or the solstice, and I do that for the reasons personal to me, but I do believe that that's the best time. I have also done short fasts once a month for 3 days. There are different kinds of fasts. You can fast with only liquids. You can fast with just a vegetable juice, and so forth. There are a lot of types of fasts and cleanses. And I would say it really has to do with the individual and what your goals are. And obviously, throughout all of those, you employ some spiritual practice that you're giving yourself time to think and reflect, and obviously to put forth positive thoughts around what it is that you're trying to achieve. But I don't think that there's any one shoe fits all type of approach when it comes to cleansing the body and fasting. It really requires, I would say, at least a consultation to talk about what the goals are. What it is that you're trying to achieve. Someone who's trying to lose 60 or 70 pounds and start with improving their overall health is not going to be the same or have the same approach as someone who's already at, say, the weight that they their ideal weight, and they're really doing it, say, to remove heavy metals. There are different kinds of fasts and cleanses. All of them tie back to the digestive system, and clearly what you're taking in is going to be very, very important in the fast, the quality of what you're taking in, and more importantly, just as important as how you're fasting, what you're preparing, and what you're doing is how you come off of that fast. You have to make sure that you follow the correct steps to come off of it so that you don't damage your system. You can't go for 10 days without eating. And when I fast, I don't take in any solid foods at all, and I only take in a liquid, and it's a liquid that I've prepared myself, and it's my body all of what I need to sustain myself, because you don't want the body to begin to feed on itself, so to speak, your ketones.
Right. Well, a great fast that I did in the beginning of the year is the Daniel fast. Have you ever done that, Tyra?
I've heard of the Daniel fast, but I'm not familiar with it, and no, I have not done it, unless
right.
I did it.
Right. Well, it's actually, I mean, it's basically Daniel did it in the Bible, and he wanted to make sure he did not defile his body, and it's basically all natural foods, no meat, no dairy, vegetables, fruits. Basically organic stuff, because you cannot have preservatives. And like I kind of said last time, there's so much preservatives in all of these foods that we eat, and we don't even realize it. And
well, I've definitely done the Daniel. It wasn't.
Yeah, and it's an amazing cleanse. And then it's also biblical in that it if you go in it with the purpose of, okay, I want to get closer to God, and you go in and you pray about it, you pray about doing it, because I never did it before, and it was kind of a shock because I had never gone without eating meat. But it's true that after a couple of days, you don't even crave it.
That's right.
Your body has become so purified from it being cleansed by the natural fruits and vegetables that now I guess those cravings, basically the more you eat it, the more you crave it. So now that we've kind of, you know, I've purified my body from it, I didn't have the cravings anymore, and it was great. And I'm, you know, that's something I would recommend that people, if they want to know more about the Daniel fast, you could definitely go to Google, type it in, and there's all kinds of information, or you could go straight to the source, to the Bible, and, you know, get more information about it in Daniel. But if you go on the internet, the intranet, I don't know why. Is it internet or intranet? You know what? I'm all mixed up from work. At work, we have an internet and intranet. Anyway.
Right.
On the internet, you go and type in the Daniel fast, and there's a lot of sites, which one by Susan Gregory, I was reading her book, and it literally gives you some good key tips on how to do it. Because, you know, of course, back in the Bible days, they didn't have all the things we have now.
Right.
So there's so many more choices, and people can definitely become confused. But it's, for me personally, it's something I recommend, and it's biblical. So, you know, you can't ever go wrong when God is in the midst.
Exactly. And you spoke about it, eliminating cravings, and that is one of the primary focuses and goals of any cleanse or fast. I, in fact, quit smoking cigarettes about 10 years ago, and I had tried cold turkey, acupuncture, hypnosis, I had tried everything, including the patch, everything known at currently, which is basically what's known now, and nothing helped me quit smoking for more than 2 days, and I had been smoking many years, and I knew it was obviously killing me, and I have not looked back, never looked back, and have not craved a cigarette since.
Great.
And when I look at now, and I see it's such a vile habit and such a disgusting habit, and it's not to down anyone. Obviously, cigarettes are whatever it is for whoever, but it's definitely a killer. And anyone who smokes right now should seriously consider how to address quitting smoking cigarettes. It's
amen. That's confirmation for any of you out there who I have preached to.
I actually helped. I helped.
And I'm telling you, I'm so against smoking and cigarettes and things like that. And you know, my loved ones that I care about deeply, I probably annoy them so much from begging them to please give it up. But I it's not something, you know, it's not an addiction that I suffer from, so I can't say that I empathize. I do sympathize, but, you know, I pray for them, and I pray that God gives them the strength to overcome it, because it's definitely, it's detrimental to your health. It's detrimental.
People need help to overcome that, but fasting and cleansing and a spring cleaning, I highly recommend that to anyone right now who, whether you want to lose weight, quit smoking, change some habits, or just begin to self-reflect and bring some peace and spirituality to your life. This is the time of year. March 21st is the equinox. Obviously, we are going into one of the most holy seasons that we can possibly go into, Easter and the spring. This is just the perfect time. People think that January 1st for New Year's is when you begin to set goals, but dead in the middle of winter is not. That's why so many people fall off the wagon, so to speak, when they start those, oh, I'm going to start losing weight. We're right in the middle of the winter.
I know, and the gym is packed on January 1.
Well, we need the heavier foods then. It's not by chance that bears hibernate for the winter and get fat. You know, I mentioned last week that we all tend to gain a couple of pounds, and you should for the winter. It's it's a measure against colds. But it's not just fat, it's good fats that you need. And that's obviously a whole another topic. But just in celebration of Women's History Month, we're now in March, and last week you gave me the opportunity in honor of Black American History Month. I'd just like to say, ladies, this is Women's History Month. Don't let health elude you.
Amen.
Breast cancer, those are all things that fibroids and all of the issues in Black women, of course, women of color, we're right up there at the top. So
yeah.
Our health is a great segue from Black History Month right into Women's History Month.
Amen. It's perfect. It's perfect. Tyra, I just want to thank you so much
thank
for calling in. Is there something you want to ask her, Motivator?
Actually, no. I just wanted to also thank her as well. And,
thank you.
I'll share some scriptures that people can actually read. Because, you know, sometimes affirmations, and I think you mentioned this before, Tyra, is that
yes.
Sometimes affirmations or declarations can impact your health as well.
Amen.
Oh, yes, 100%. Those kinds of positive thoughts. But I do want to thank the both of you for having me. And if I
thank
can
you,
say,
Tyron. Let them know where to find you. Tell them, everybody, your website.
Great. Thank you. My website is www.holistichealthandtheandand.com. Holistic Health and the word and wellness.com. That's www.holistichealthandwellness.com.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. We truly appreciate you. And, you know, we've been talking, everybody, about having Tyra as a regular because health is so important. I mean, if there's nothing else to add into our everyday life, it's to learn how to take care of our health and wellness. It's so important because, you know what, if you don't have health, you have nothing. You know, you have Christ, of course, but in order to survive on this earth, we have to have our health and our strength, even to praise God, you know what I mean? And so it's so important we become conscious of these things. And, you know, I'm nowhere near perfect. I'm working on myself also, and, you know, I pray every day because I have to say, I guess my vice is food. I love some food, you know, and but I know just the way I've done it in the past, I can do it again. My thing has always been just maintaining. And, you know, Tyra, I look forward to you even assisting me with that. And people, again, visit her website if you want more.
And I do offer free consultations. I promise you that. And my phone number, very quickly, 718-398-6313. That's 398-6313. I'm sorry?
Repeat it one more time.
718-398-6313.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Tyra.
You take care,
thank
both
you,
of you, and God bless, and have a wonderful evening.
Okay.
God bless you.
God bless. Oh, yes, everybody. That was just amazing. That was Miss Tyra Randall. Tyra Randall, who is a health and wellness expert. She's an amazing woman of God. And, you know, she doesn't only just teach us about our health, but she also brings in the biblical and spiritual standpoints into it, which is, again, what we are all about on the Extreme Praise Show. Okay, listen, we are going to take a quick music break. And you know what? Because it's time to change. The same way my sister just talked about, it is time to change. It is time to change. Change our thinking. Change our mindset, go and move forward to getting better, better for ourselves, better for our families, better for our loved ones. So I'm going to take it to Miss Yolanda Adams. It's time to change.
Hallelujah. We got something to say. You know?
You know? You know?
It's one of those joints here.
Joints here.
Yolanda?
Yolanda?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Check us out. You know? It's time to change. Yolanda?
I see him.
Yolanda Adams.
Mm, oh, my God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Yes, for those of you who are listening in, you're tuned in to the Extreme Praise Show. It is now 10 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, and you're listening to The Motivator and
Lady X.
And I just want to say, you know, thank you, Tyra Randall, who was with us earlier for our health segment. And for those of you who are listening in, please visit the website so that you can get some of our archives. And when you go to our group page on Facebook, I will post up a note of 10 of the most, I would say, healing verses from the Bible. So when you have an opportunity, follow us on Twitter at Extreme Praise Now. That's X-T-R-E-M-E, Praise Now. Or you can like our FB fan page at Extreme Praise Show, or join the Facebook group at Extreme Praise at groups.facebook.com. You know, one of the things that we're celebrating this month
is what?
Women's History Month.
Woo! Shout out to all my women out there!
So, you know, before we got a chance to segue into our wonderful speaker, Cheryl Wills from New York One, I wanted to share a top 10 list of the most powerful women in 2011.
Powerful women?
Powerful women in 2011. Now, this list was garnered online, and it was on a woman's website called a Business Blog. And the top 10 women are women that many of you know. Number one on the top 10 list is Michelle Obama.
I was going to ask if that's who you were going to say
first. First Lady of the United States of America.
Shout out to Michelle.
The second person is the Chief Executive of Kraft Foods, Irene Rosenfeld. Irene Rosenfeld.
Who's that?
She's the Chief Executive of Kraft Foods.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, Kraft Foods is a huge company. You know, people know Heinz, people know different companies
mm-hmm.
like Nabisco, but you know, Kraft Foods is huge.
Now, I want to know, did they pay for you to say that?
No,
you just plugged Kraft in on the show.
Hey, listen, you want to
listen, Kraft? If you're looking, we're looking for sponsorship. So yes, you just got a free plug. Call us
and visit us. Also, we have the third person. Now, this will come as a surprise to many of you.
Who?
Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey, a media personality that
I
think
surprised.
Everybody else, you know, in the world watches. Even pets watch Oprah. Number four on the list. No, it's
what
true.
What do you mean even?
It's true. I know you have your cat watching Oprah. All right.
Diamond, where you at? Can you co-sign?
And fourth on the list, we have Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Okay.
Number five, we have Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State.
Mm.
Number six, we have Chief Executive of PepsiCo, Indra Nooyi.
Oh, say that again?
Indra Nooyi.
Did y'all hear that? He did the rrr.
Yes, you know. And I try to respect and honor the pronunciation of your name. So if you're listening to the show and you hear your name, please contact me and we'll work that out.
Shameless plug, but go ahead, my brother.
Now we also have number seven.
Number seven.
He's a singer and performance artist that I hear a lot of my young people singing, Lady Gaga.
Really?
Lady Gaga. Yes,
really?
Yes, Lady Bye-bye. Gaga. You know, it's amazing how music has a huge impact on a lot of young people. You would think that it would be Beyonce. Well, guess what? Beyonce is number nine. But Lady Gaga, for some reason, has garnered so much popularity, and I think it's due to her controversy.
But this list is meaning what? What is this list?
This list is the top 10 people that this person on their site had on a blog, business blog.
Oh, but what about our list?
Hey, listen, you know, we can create our own list as well.
Yeah, I think we need to because there's a lot of sisters in gospel and stuff too.
Now, who would you plug in?
Oh, wow. Why you got to put me on the spot? Let's see. I would do everything from Karen Clark Shear to, I would put Whitney Houston on there because she's making a comeback, and I think God is really working on that sister. I think he is truly working. I would put Yolanda Adams on there because she has been making a lot of moves. And I listen to my sister every day on WLIB.
Yes,
so,
yes, yes.
You know,
actually, I was listening to her earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Right before the Hezekiah show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
We're plugging all these people, too.
Well, listen, this is what we do.
I want to, also, I would put, let me see, I would put my mother on that list.
Now,
shout out to Pam
Boyd. If you put your mother on, I have to put my mother as well. You're not saying just. But let me give you the other three people that this person gave. The eighth person was Gail Kelly, chief executive of Westpac. The ninth person was Beyonce Knowles, singer and fashion designer. And then the tenth person that she put on is Ellen DeGeneres, a talk show host. And now this is with regards to women's history, that these women are very powerful women. They're most likely very influential in society as well.
And I'm sure they are, but then we got to also look at the type of influence that they're having. So, you know, coming from a faith-based standpoint and knowing Christ and knowing the power of, like, one, you said music.
Yes.
And I was having this discussion with somebody.
Yes.
That music is extremely powerful.
Yes.
And the way we use music and the effect that it has on the world.
Yes.
Is important, and we have to be conscious of it, the effect that it has on us, because for those of you who did not know, Lucifer was the head of music in heaven before he got kicked out and became the devil that we all know today, you know, and because of that, he continues to use the power of music to hold people captive in this world.
And don't stop there. There's also the realm of media, and I think this is an area that we'll need more women or more people from the gospel. I know that we have the Word Network, and that's a huge venue. And we also have Gospel Music Channel.
Mm-hmm.
We have different medias. But, I mean, take a look at Oprah Winfrey. Her access and her reach is so far, so huge. What would it be like if we could have someone like that for the people of gospel, or have her proclaim the gospel of Christ,
right,
as opposed to promoting yoga and different things.
Can you imagine what that would do for the kingdom just because of the influence that she
has?
Yes. Amazing. But, yeah, there's so many powerful women, and for Women's History Month, you know, every week for Women's History Month, we're going to continue to just celebrate our women in every aspect. And don't worry, we'll come up with some good stuff. And let us know what you might want to talk about with women. You know, what particular topics do you want to visit?
Yeah.
How women have influenced you. Also, since we're talking about women, please, while you're in the chat rooms, or even if you can't do it in the chat room today, you know, hit us up on Twitter, which is Extreme Praise Now, or hit us up at the Facebook group page, Extreme Praise at groups.facebook.com. And, you know, give us, we want some feedback, and we want to know exactly what you want to talk about, and because the men and women should have some woman to celebrate. Because
right.
Guess what? Not one of us here would be here without a woman giving birth to us.
I love you, Mom.
I love you too, Mommy. I love you too, Mom. Oh, man. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, and I'm so glad that we get to celebrate women.
Women's history. And you know what? I'm also excited about our upcoming guest,
mm-hmm.
who is here as our feature for Women's History Month.
That's right.
Cheryl Wills, who is an anchor of New York One.
Yes, she is.
She is a prize reporter. She's an award-winning journalist. And she is also author of the book Die Free.
She is the author. Yes, she is. And it's an amazing book. And, you know, since we just segued into that, I want to bring Ms. Cheryl Wills on. Cheryl, are you on the line?
I am on the line, live, on the air. How is everybody?
Excellent.
We are awesome. Cheryl, my name is Xavier, a.k.a. Lady X, and
Lady
you're speaking
X.
with...
You're speaking to MacArthur St. Just, a.k.a. The Motivator.
Oh, The Motivator and Lady X. How are y'all doing today?
Hey.
Yes, sir. We are so blessed, and we are blessed to have you on. I'm very excited about this.
Absolutely.
you know, you are, I've gotten to know more about you, even more so than what I already did.
Yes.
And you just, you're a phenomenal woman who I believe God is really using you. And I'm just so excited to have you on the show, so welcome.
Hey, Xavia, thank you for having me, and congrats on what you're doing. It's a lot of people listen to this show, I'm learning. I put it on my website, and some people were like, you're going to be on Extreme Talk? Oh, my gosh. So I said, yeah, tune in. So you have a lot of devoted followers. So thank you.
That's right. The Extreme Praise Show, we try to keep people in, you know, just from all walks of life in the world, and Christ is at the center of it, but, you know, especially when there's people out there making moves and really affecting and positively influencing people like yourself. So we're very grateful to have you on.
Yeah, Extreme Praise is all that. I got to give it to y'all. Yeah.
Thank you. So, we kind of want to dive right in. It's Women's History Month, and, you know, you are our first guest for the first broadcast in women's history. So I just think it's so perfect because you have so many things under your belt.
So many things that you've already done.
You've been in on TV broadcast for 20 years, right?
20 years, yes.
Wow.
On New York One News. And one of the reporters and anchors. And it's been a joy because, you know, I was raised up in a little storefront church that my grandfather built by hand. Yeah, in Queens, New York. And it was a very humble little church. And he had no money. He came from Tennessee. And, you know, it was a joy, but the Spirit was in that place.
Hallelujah.
And you know what I'm saying? And these were old-time church folks that believed in speaking in tongues. And, I mean, they were down home. You know, we would beat our tambourines, and my grandmother played the piano as the first lady of the church. My grandfather was the preacher. My father at one point was the deacon. So, and my grandmother's and grandfather on the other side, they were a preacher and a missionary.
It was like my church show.
I was listening to you in the minutes before I came on, so I appreciate how you are holding it down, you know, for the kingdom, as you called it. And that's in my bone marrow, if you understand what I mean. You know,
I
was raised
right
that all of my life.
I love it.
You know what the Bible says, you train up a child in the way they should go.
Amen.
And they shall not
depart from it.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Amen. So, Cheryl, I have a question. Can you just kind of tell us, how did you even get into journalism?
I went to Syracuse University, and I studied broadcast journalism. And prior to that, you know, I was a little cub reporter from the age of about 7. I would go around with a little recorder and just interview my grandparents and my friends, and they all thought I was nosy. They didn't know I was in career training as a
preteen.
Yeah, but, you know, I always tell young people when I speak to them at schools, I'm like, your inspiration is in you now for your career. If you could just turn off the TV, turn off the video games, and listen to what God is saying to you. He is telling you what you should do with your life, because I know it was spoken to me at a very young age. And I am grateful to God that I have not departed from it. And so after I graduated from Syracuse, I worked at Channel 5 in New York. It was my first job out of college. And then God really blessed by having someone come over to me and say, you know, we're starting this new concept in television news, 24-hour cable station in New York. You want to come? Just like that.
Really?
And I said, yeah, I want to go. Okay. And the rest is history, as they say.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And that speaks to God's favor in your life as well.
Absolutely.
He definitely brings provisions. That's one of the scriptures, I love, is like, when you focus on Christ, you keep him and his kingdom first, he will add all the other things onto you. He will bring the right people in your path, and you're like firsthand to see it. Wow.
I really am a witness to that, Xavier, and I will tell you that that's how I try to live my life. You know, keep your life uncluttered so God can speak and direct your path, because when you try to do it yourself, sometimes you make a mess.
Right.
And when you try to strong-arm things or manipulate or say, you know, I think it should be done this way, God will take his hand off the steering wheel and say, okay, you drive. You're so
smart. Exactly.
And often we drive right into a ditch.
Yes.
So it's sometimes good just to be quiet and be still and to really let, you know, God lead. Even if you make mistakes, sometimes those mistakes are for your good, for you to learn something important.
Right. You know what, I mean, as you say that, I'm wondering, was there ever a time where you thought, let me do this on my own, and maybe you went off the path and God had to pull you back? Did you ever have a moment like that?
No, I haven't had a moment. I've had multiple moments like that.
That's just keeping it real.
I have a lifetime of that.
Yes.
And that's why I speak with the utmost sincerity when I say that I've learned things the hard way. I've made mistakes, of course. I don't think you can be successful without making mistakes. And, you know, after making those mistakes, I always take a step back and say, okay, Cheryl, what did we learn? And sometimes it was, Cheryl, you talk too much, or Cheryl, you know, you need to chill with your anger, you know, because I suffered a tragedy when I was a young girl, which is what my book is about. And my father was killed. That deacon I told you about a few minutes ago, he died at the age of 38 in a horrific motorcycle crash. And
wow.
I was the oldest of five children. I had a brother, 12, who was autistic. I had a sister, 8, and I had twin siblings who were 6. And we all sat on the front pew of the Refuge Church of Christ in Queens and looked at our father's mangled body on September 4th, 1980. And that was such a traumatic event for all of us. That I tell you, only God took us through it. You know what I'm saying?
Jesus,
only
yes.
God could take you through something like that.
Yes.
So, yeah, you know what I'm saying. So, you know, that when you witness a tragedy like that at a young age, it will color your whole life. It's the lens through which you see life. And I had to really learn about how to conduct myself the hard way, because I was always afraid that people were going to die in a flash, you know, and I would be afraid of getting too close to people because they're just going to die anyway. You know, I was a kid when this happened. So I had to really figure a lot of things out by trial and error. But I'm thankful for the experience and the journey. And I believe God is going to make the crooked road straight for me. You know, no girl should watch her father die the way what I saw.
Yes.
But I believe God says, I got you, Cheryl. We're going to make it all right. And that's exactly what's happening with my book. It's being made all right now.
Right, and we want to get into that, because you have an amazing a book that I think everybody who's listening can relate to your story, if not directly, indirectly, because we all have a heritage that some of us don't know. And I think it's just amazing how you were able to capture the essence of your heritage and absolutely able to really pull all that information. And your book, can you tell everybody the name of your book?
Absolutely, it's called Die Free, A Heroic Family Tale.
Okay,
and,
wonderful.
Yeah, and the website for the book is diefreethebook.com. And basically, and it's in a very popular paper here in New York today called Newsday.
Yes, yes, I was going to say that. I saw the article. Congratulations.
Thank you. A very big article. I'm so happy about it. But basically, here's the gist of the book. I was on the computer, 2009, went on Ancestry.com. You know, all those commercials. I plug in my last name, Wills. I plug in the town where my dad was born, Haywood County, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Up pops this name, Sandy Wills. In my head, I'm like, who is Sandy Wills? Sandy Wills is such an unusual name for a black man in 1870. You know, we were usually, black people were almost always named biblical names or traditional names like their slave masters. I had a grandma, Emma, or John, or Sam, you know. But Sandy, I was like, who is this?
Right, right.
And I did some research, and I started digging. I hired a professional genealogist. Turns out Sandy was purchased by Edmund Wills when he was 10 years old. That was the first shock, to learn how my last name came about through the sale of the human being.
Oh, so he was actually, he wasn't born into slavery? He was purchased?
Oh, yeah, he was born into slavery, but he was sold. So another name prior to being purchased by Sandy Wills. See, with every purchase of their priceless souls, their names changed. So if Mr. Jones bought you in 1840, you were Sandy Jones. When Edmund Wills bought my grandpa in 1850, he became Sandy Wills. You get me? And that's how it was. It was horrific, it was devastating, and it was dehumanizing for the Africans who had to live through this. So Edmund Wills bought my great-great-great-grandpa in 1850. He was 10 years old, takes him away from his mother, his family, shuttles him to the Wills plantation, and never to see his mother or his father or anybody again. That was par for the course for all Africans. They were just bought and sold and taken wherever, whenever. And while he was on the Wills plantation, he bonded with five little boys. And when all of those boys grew up, by 1863, they all escaped and went and fought in the Civil War. And the wonderful thing was, my grandpa was the oldest. He was 23. So he, you know, the others were 18, 17. You know, remember, they guessed their ages because nobody kept track of their ages or birthdays.
Right.
They all went and fought in the 4th Heavy Field Artillery together.
Right. Right, in the Civil War. So they were part
in
of the colored troops.
That's right, as members of the United States Colored Troops. It's an
extraordinary story,
yeah, of bravery, of how they organized. I mean, slaves, they were illiterate. They were beaten down. Their self-esteem was stripped from them. Their families were stripped from them. And still, they yearned for freedom. And the dignity that they had and the courage that they had was to read all of their pension documents when they were quizzed and treated like criminals when they applied for their war pensions. I learned my entire family history.
That is amazing. Cheryl, listen, we're actually looking at the excerpt that's on your website, and if you don't mind, the motivator would like to read an excerpt from it.
Please, motivator, read. As they used to say in
all
the
right.
church, read.
Yes, and this is a phenomenal book, and you write extremely well. So for those of you who haven't picked up the book, remember, it's Cheryl Wills. The portion I'm reading is from your site, but I'm going to read here. It says, Lieutenant G.W. Fetterman filled out the rectangular form for each of the Wills men in what was called a company descriptive book. The weary men answered the questions as best they could. My name is Mac Wills, he said. When asked his age, Mac said 18. Of course, he didn't really know his exact age or birthday, but he probably knew that he had to be at least 18 years old to fight in the Great War between the states. In fact, they all said they were 18, except Andy, who declared he was 19. An assistant may have used a measuring tape to determine Mac's height, which was listed at 5 feet 6 inches. Lieutenant Fetterman probably didn't bother to look deep into Mac's eyes and flippantly wrote that he had black eyes, black hair, and a black complexion. In actuality, Mac was probably a deep brown, but what would a white officer see? Everything in his world was either black or white. That was part of the reason this terrible war had to go forth. When asked where Mac was born, he said Nashville, Tennessee. But the most startling and downright repulsive part of the form is where it says occupation. As he did this, as he did with other entries on the enlistment form, Lieutenant Fetterman wrote in his most beautiful cursive penmanship, slave. Upon first seeing this, it literally took my breath away. Occupation, slave. I couldn't peel my eyes away from the reprinted original scanned records from the National Archives. Occupation, slave. Really? Was slavery really a means of earning a living? Honestly? Slavery is not an activity in which a person is engaged that would be an occupation. Slavery is not a profession, a livelihood, or a vocation. Slavery is many things, but one thing it is not is an occupation. And that's an excerpt from the book Die Free, and I definitely wanted to get your thoughts on that particular excerpt.
First of all, let me commend you with reading that with feeling motivated.
Thank you.
You read that with feeling. I'm saying to myself, I wrote that, huh? You made me feel good. You know, I wrote it from my heart and soul. And
yes,
that's truly an interpretation of what I saw when the National Archives sent me those forms of all of those brothers. And I call them Sandy's brothers in bondage, because who knows where they came from. But on a slave plantation, bondage is thicker than blood, because you're all you got. In a crazy world.
Yes.
So
yes.
When I read those forms and I saw occupation slave, the hypocrisy of it stung me heart and soul. Because
can I tell you, Cheryl, I'm sorry to cut you off, but let me just say, when I read that excerpt, which was not now, I read it before, and I had chills going up my arm. And as I read, I had the chills, and then I got to your line where you said you could not believe it. And I literally felt like I was you reading it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And I wanted the reader to feel that. I wanted the reader to feel my disgust. Because you know what? We're not talking about historical figures. We're talking about family now.
Yes.
We're not
yes.
talking about like a George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, people that we have no relation to. I'm talking about my grandpa.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm talking about the people that slept in a slave shack with my grandpa. And it takes on a whole new meaning.
Yes. Mm-mm. So I wanted to address the component of occupation slave on another level as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know that a lot of people feel that they're bound to their jobs or to their professions.
Mm.
You know, many people feel that, you know, this system, the economical system, or the ways, you know, the way that things are set up, that parents cannot have relationships with their children, which seems very similar to what has happened in the past.
Yeah,
right.
And so I just wanted to just share, you know, have you take a look at the spiritual side, the spiritual component of slavery as well.
Yeah,
that's a great analogy, and not as you as I think you're really getting that. Not much has changed in 150
exactly.
years.
Exactly.
And, you know, and that along with the hypocrisy and people feeling that their occupation defines them. Your occupation doesn't define you. Your occupation is just one of many components that make up your journey here on earth. But, you know, when you meet people, so sometimes they'll say, I'm a lawyer, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. When I meet people, you know what I say now, motivator? I'm Sandy's great-great-great-granddaughter.
Oh, there you go. Amen. That is more powerful than any title that they could give you. That is more powerful than any title, because your being actually comes from that heritage, and all
that's
about being
exactly
from
right.
A heritage that most of us don't even know about, you know?
Exactly. And I was at a speech in Brooklyn here, and they read my bio, and I was like, oh, they went on for about 4 minutes reading my bio. And when I took the stage, I said, thank you. I appreciate you reading my credentials. And I looked at the audience, I said, but none of that matters.
Amen.
Because I am redefined. I am Sandy and Emma's great-great-great-granddaughter, and I'm a child of God and a beneficiary
Hallelujah.
Of grace. And that's why I'm here to talk about you today. Because, you know, I appreciate your point, motivator. You know, we got to redefine ourselves.
Yes.
Thank you.
We have to redefine. We are not, just a salary. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're not. And you know what? It's amazing how even in 2011, we have repercussions from slavery days that are still in our being, our emotions, our physical, our mental, and, you know, and it's still, you can still see it in many people, and that's what they call the slave mentality, you know, and the great analogy that the motivator made down to just even when you're defining yourself through your career, but it's like we need to define ourselves through God first and foremost.
Yes. Yes.
You know, what is our relationship with him? And then know who you really are and where you come from.
And
I'm so thankful for your book because there's a lot of us. Like myself, I have several backgrounds, and one of them, of course, is my family is from the South and African-American. And I thought about doing what you did, but I never did. And what I would love for you to be able to do is to tell people how exactly to do that. But before you even do that, I want to know, how did you redefine yourself?
Well, that's the beauty of learning your people, because that will give you clarity on your position in the world. And spiritually, I had a spiritual awakening while learning about Sandy and Emma, his widow. And that they helped me to define myself properly. And they helped me to say, you know, Cheryl, it's not all about TV. It's not all about news. Don't forget what we did for you. And don't forget to do for others. Because the only thing you're going to take from here when they close the box on you is the love that you have circulated in the hearts of people. That's the only thing you take with you. Your career, somebody else going to be sitting at your desk. Somebody else is going to be driving your car and wearing your clothes too, man.
Amen to that.
But the love and the respect and the integrity that you have, that you keep. And that is what your family cherishes. And I'm a witness to that because I cherish Sandy's legacy. I cherish
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You.
And that's what it has survived them for 150 years.
That's
here
amazing.
I am, their great-great-great-granddaughter, bearing witness to people
Amen.
Physically
you,
dead for 150 years. And they have told me in spirit, that's what you want to make your goal. That's your identity, not a dollar and not a
dollar. Amen. You know what? It's perfect because one of the questions I wanted to ask you, you know, what you were saying about not defining yourself through your career, and especially when your career could be gone, not yours, but any of us,
please.
Could be in a position today, and you can be out of that position tomorrow. And
I've
so
seen
I wanted
so many
to ask,
times, X. People.
I know, and that's the way it is. You know, the
career, and it's gone in a night.
Right. Mm. And the sad thing is so many people get caught up in a title and get caught up in their career, and then they step on people on the way up, and they don't realize they're going to have to pass those same people, God forbid, if they have to go back down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry?
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
Amen.
Right.
I agree.
So I wanted to ask you, as a woman and a black woman at that,
yes,
what has been, like, one of your greatest challenges in your career? Because your career is not just, it doesn't define you, but in your career as a woman, because this is Women's History Month, and we just came out of Black History Month, what is something that maybe you experienced as a woman?
In terms of challenges?
Yes.
Okay, so one of the things I experienced was, you know, women and men hating on me, you know, wishing I would fail, feeling that I don't deserve, you know, to be where I am. And that's just human nature. People are quite vicious in anything with an entertainment edge to it, or if you're a high-profile person, you're immediately going to attract people who despise you just because you had the nerve to stand on stage and speak your truth. And sometimes people will hate you because they hate themselves. So they'll project that out onto you. And I've dealt with that just like any high-profile person would. I mean, that's par for the course when you are a public person, especially on television. And so that's one of the big challenges I've had to deal with, and how to learn how to deal with that gracefully. Because when you see that kind of ugly behavior, your first instinct sometimes is to say, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But then if you get down in the mud with them, they win. So, you know, you have to learn how to take a – And you know, it's one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible is when Jesus said, if somebody smacks you on one cheek, give them the other. And for a long time, I didn't understand what that meant. Now I do. Because I really do. Because whatever somebody does to you, they're doing it really to themselves.
Right.
When they attack you, they're not really attacking you. They're attacking themselves. So that's why Jesus said don't get down on their level, because all you're going to do is bring hurt onto yourself.
Right.
Don't seek revenge. Don't. If somebody attacks you, let them attack you some more. Don't join them. And it took me a while to learn that. And I think that's the biggest challenge, to answer your question directly, that I've had to deal with. Because, you know, it's hard to deal with people who go after you, and it's like you look at them and say, what did I do to you?
Exactly.
What did I do to you?
The sad thing is there's always going to be haters out there.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, just to let everybody know, you are listening to the Extreme Praise Show, and we have the honor of having Miss Cheryl Wills on. And who is Cheryl Wills? She is the great, great, great granddaughter of Sandy Wills.
Hallelujah.
And you know what? I tell you about Emma? I know we don't have much time, but I got to tell you about Sandy's wife, Emma.
Okay,
now,
go ahead.
You know about Sandy fighting, and since it's Women's History Month, I got to give her a shout out. You know about Sandy fighting in the Civil War. Okay, he came back. He got an honorable discharge, and he got married to Emma, had 9 children. But let me tell you what this woman did. This beautiful former house slave, and when she was born, she was owned by a West family, and then she was sold as a girl to the Moore family. So she was a slave all of her life until the Civil War freed her in 1865. And she married Sandy. And now remember, she's illiterate. Every time she had a baby, she went to her old slave master's house and said to one of the younger kids, can you please write the name of my son in my Bible and the day he was born? She couldn't do it herself.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
And you know
what?
That is.
It makes me want to cry just to repeat it.
Mm.
You hear me? And she said, and she had to explain this to a lawyer. So she said, I had Joan Moore. Every time I had a child, set the name and birthday of my baby in my Bible. And so she did that 9 times. Mm. And after Sandy died, they treated her like a lying baby mama. Where's your birth certificate? She would have to explain to the United States government they didn't keep birth dates of slaves. Well, how do we know that who you are, who you say you are? Well, sir, I have people who can attest to who I am. Well, how do we know all those children belong to Sandy? And this widow, this illiterate widow who grew up a slave in the United States of America, pulled out a Bible and
Hallelujah.
Said, this
oh,
is my
the
family
word.
Bible. I had Joe Moore write the names of my children. I don't know my birthday, but they will be known.
Hallelujah.
And when I read that, I said, the devil is a liar.
Thank
yes.
you, Jesus.
Yes.
Speak that word now.
Okay. The devil is a liar. She knew that she was historic in everything she did. She realized, I'm among the first wave of black mothers who could have children and keep them. And
Hallelujah.
They will be remembered by my strength. If I can't write it myself, I'll get somebody to
yes.
write it in the only book I know to be true, the Bible. And I'm telling you, when I learned that, I said, well, glory to God.
Wow.
My grandmother
wow.
speaking to me from the grave.
You are, I mean, your story, your heritage, your legacy is such an inspiration.
It's
and
amazing.
It's so amazing. And
yes.
I just want to let everybody know, again, we're talking with Cheryl Wills.
Yes.
You're listening to the Extreme Praise Show. This is Cheryl Wills. Yes, she is the anchor on New York One for 20-plus years, but she is also the great-great-great-granddaughter of
Sandy
Wills. And
also author of the book Die Free.
That's right. And her website for the book, which is actually on tour, and I want to get into that because, Cheryl, we actually only have about 7 minutes left before the show ends. But I want to tell them your website is WillsCivilWarHistory.com, and they can go read an excerpt of your book and read about the tour and your appearances. But I see that you have a book signing coming up, actually. You have a book signing on March 15th.
Yes, we will
You have a book signing,
Brooklyn.
And it's actually in Brooklyn and Fort Greene, Clinton Hill.
Right. Yes.
Yes, join Brooklyn Stone Boutique for Women's History Month. Again, we are celebrating Women's History, and you are
yes.
definitely doing it the right way.
Yes.
As we host a book signing with Cheryl Wills, New York One news anchor and author of Die Free. It's open to all. It's a free event. The phone number, if anybody wants to find out more information, is 347-763-2041, and the email is brooklynstoneboutique@gmail.com. Again, that's on March 15th, 2011, from 6 to 9 p.m. That's 366 Myrtle Avenue in Brooklyn, New York, the Brooklyn Stone Boutique. And we'll put that up on the Extreme Praise fan page as well as our group page, and I'll post that on Twitter also. But and Cheryl, I think this is just amazing. Listen, I wanted to also, you have a team of people who go with you on these tours, and I have to shout out my nephew and all of them with his house.
I
used to sing with them also.
Love.
I don't know if you know that, but we all used to sing in the New York Inspirational Mass Choir.
Really?
So please let them know about your team of people who go with you on your book tour.
Yes, they are Ensemble of Praise, organized by Emmanuel Robinson.
Hallelujah.
He is the founder of the Ensemble of Praise, and they were created specifically to interpret my story through song. They sing Negro spirituals. I do a reading, and then I step back and let them do the singing. And it is always something. When people see our presentation, they never forget it.
Wow. That is exciting. Let me tell you, I'm gonna put a shameless plug on the air. Everybody, y'all hear me, right? I want to be part of that group.
Well, let me tell you what I've
been
invited to do, which is a great honor.
You know she's an artist as well. But,
Okay. Well, you know Neffy, so we'll get you hooked in. We'll get you looped in for sure, X.
Man, praise God.
Let me tell you how God is blessed. I know we're running out of time. The United Nations just invited me to come speak. Can you imagine? You see how God is opening doors?
Ava.
To come speak on March 25th, not to a few people, but to the entire assembly.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yep, for the International Day of Remembrance of Slavery. Can you imagine?
You know when that is? What's the date of that?
March 25th, the United Nations.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I am so excited for you. Oh, Cheryl, I'm going to be praying for you, and I'm going to really be praying for your ministry because you know what? This is a ministry.
Yes,
because you're
is.
Not just telling a heritage, but you are really ministering, and it's a beautiful thing. And I'm so glad that we were able to even have you because not only did you share your history and, of course, you know, your career and the power that you have as a wonderful woman and a black woman at that, but you also know Christ. And regardless of everything else, for us, that is the most important thing.
Yes.
So I'm so grateful for you to be able to bless our show.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank you for having me.
Just before you leave, I'm just going to ask you to just share what is your favorite verse and why it speaks to you?
My favorite verse in the Bible is, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." And if everyone really believed that, we wouldn't have a problem in the world. But one of the issues is people do unto others and say, "Don't worry about what I'm doing. This is what I want you to do." You got so many people trying to control and manipulate each other and knowing that they wouldn't want to be controlled and manipulated, you know.
Right.
So that's my favorite Bible verse of many.
Well, praise God, Cheryl. Thank you so much.
We love you here, Cheryl.
Oh, I love you, too. I love you, too. And thank you for spreading the word. I will never forget you. And I'm happy to come on the show anytime.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. We're so thankful for you. Again, you tell them your website one more time.
It's actually diefreethebook.com is the easier one to remember.
Okay.
Diefreethebook.com.
Amen.
Because God willing,
Amen.
It's going to be diefreethemovie.com.
All right now. Okay now. I am an actor too. Wow. Cheryl, thank you so much. Thank you for being a blessing to us, and we look forward to having you back on the show.
God bless you.
Okay, God bless.
God bless
you.
Bye bye.
Woo! That was Cheryl Wills, everybody.
Yes.
Listen, I have nothing more to say. I want to give
more.
A shout out to all my beautiful women out there in the world making moves. Okay, this was just an amazing broadcast. If you missed it, if you want to download it, whatever you want to do, go to our Blog Talk page. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/extreme praise. This broadcast will be available about an hour from now. You can follow it, you can tweet it, you can Facebook it, and you can download it to keep it. Cheryl, and also you, of course, you can have a copy of it too. I'm so thankful, grateful. Motivator, anything else to say?
No, just I just praise God, and I thank you all for tuning in. Come back again next week, 7 to 9 p.m.
That's
Blog
right.
Talk Radio, Extreme Praise.
Amen. We're going to take it out right now with the praise. Come on, what else can we do? But praise him, the praise with Rodney Post, the Whitfield Company, Twinkie Clark, and Terrell. All
Hallelujah.
Right. God bless y'all.
I'm going to do this song with Ebony and Twinkie Clark Terrell. It's called The Praise. Come on, Twinkie.
You said you would.